I'm now joined by Stina Storm, who is the new ventures manager for the LEGO Foundation, and Morten Bunder, who works for the LEGO Group's advertising agency, but is also visually impaired and gives motivational speeches, which is what caught the attention of the LEGO Foundation, and they recruited him in a new venture, essentially, which is the LEGO Braille Bricks. Thank you very much for joining us here at RNIB Connect Radio. So first off, Stina, why did you decide on the LEGO Braille Bricks?
Okay, well, first of all, LEGO Braille Bricks is an obvious link between our signature LEGO brick and the Braille language. So this project actually has quite a long history because the foundation, the LEGO Foundation and the LEGO Group has been approached by several different parties, both private and organizational, with this idea to somehow adapt a brick for learning Braille. So with the help of some of these idea initiators, as well as some blind organization partners, we started up testing last year and developing the concept, and we're continuing tests this year.
So the reason I was able to get in touch with you both was I did a bit of reading, and Morten, I found you. Now, as a member of the LEGO's team's advertising agency, but also somebody with visual impairment, obviously you give speeches. How do you look at this project? How does it make you feel as a, sorry to make it, the visually impaired side of it, but I imagine for you it's quite a big thing to be working with a company of this magnitude who are looking at helping people who are visually impaired.
Well, I just love it, and it's totally amazing. And I think I was actually found by Stina by a coincidence. I think she heard about this guy walking around in the agency with a visual impairment, and she contacted me. And I remember the first time I was shown the bricks. We were sitting there in the canteen in the Midtown, and I just got goosebumps all over. And so it was a very emotional first meeting with the Braille bricks, because I could just feel, you know, the potential in this. So I was very keen on getting on board in any way that I could. So that was quite emotional, actually.
Do you yourself, do you read Braille?
Well, that's a fun story, because, you know, I'm slowly losing my vision. So I had this genetic disorder called retinitis pigmentosa. So I 18 years ago, I had a full vision, and then I slowly lose my vision over the years. So actually, this project was sort of put in my path, I think, because at this point I can still see, I can still read, but I only have like 4 degrees of vision left. So I'm managed with what I have. So at this point I haven't learned Braille, but someone seems to tell me something by putting a box of Braille bricks just in front of my path. So maybe this is the sign from somewhere to start on this. So almost seemed like fate.
Yeah, I mean, I think from where the RNIB see it, we are seeing less and less people who are using Braille. And I think to be able to help visually impaired children learn Braille in such a fun way is a really great way of doing this. Now, Stina, have you had the help of sight loss organisations? I believe you had, from across the world, whilst developing these bricks.
Yes, we have. And I think that's been instrumental to developing the concept, not just the toolkit, but also the teaching material that will go with it, because we find it equally important that the children are taught in the right way. So that we do, in fact, you know, get this learning through play, which is kind of the LEGO Foundation's basic principle.
If I'm not mistaken, it's going to be 0 to 9 in numbers, the alphabet, and then a few other mathematical symbols.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. The math symbols were actually added in the second prototype version based on some really valuable feedback that we received from one of the partners who had an English and a math teacher on the project team. And they were just so passionate about the possibilities of teaching math to children, which is a challenge, especially when you have no vision. So you, for instance, number placement and, you know, an understanding of that is a challenge in itself.
Obviously, we keep talking about children, but there is much potential for adults as well. Morten, yourself, you know, you've said you don't really know Braille, but now it's been put in front of you. And have you been brought in and had a bit of an impact on the way that this is being developed?
Well, I think at this point, my input to the project has mainly been about, you know, what colors are good to look at when you have a visual impairment, and also what kind of fonts and the size of them. And so at this point, my contribution has also been about how is it to slowly and gradually lose sense that you rely on so much. So, and I think that I'll be from now on more involved in you know, how to bring this out and how to, you know, put a visual design and a concept around it.
I imagine from an advertiser's point of view, it's quite an exciting thing to do, because when at the RNIB things are developed, you know, we have to look at ways of making sure it's not just site-led. So as an advertising part of the advertising agency, it must be quite exciting for you to think about new and different ways that you're going to have to advertise this, because admittedly you might be aiming at sighted parents, but there could be some visually impaired parents who have visually impaired children. So this is going to bring what I'd like to think quite an exciting new way of advertising for Lego.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I come into the picture, because obviously I will bring in a lot of experience from a visual impaired person's point of view into this that would be hard to see as a full seeing person. So I think that it's going to be very exciting, because I work with colleagues that can see 100% every day, and I actually am a minority in you know, in my everyday work life. So being sort of the expert on how it is to be, you know, me, and maybe can relate more to visually impaired people is going to be, I'm really looking forward to the future and being involved in this.
It's very exciting. Now, Stina, I'm very intrigued. Obviously, Lego is known for the fact that you push the pieces together and they connect. How is Braille, as something that is embossed dots, going to come into effect, and how is it going to change the way that Lego comes together?
Okay, well, in fact, these Braille bricks will be produced in exactly the same way that we produce our ordinary Lego bricks. So what we call the system in play and what we call clutch power still functions. There may be fewer studs on some of these Braille bricks, but it still means that they can be put together not just with other Braille bricks, but with ordinary Lego bricks. So in effect, a blind child can, for instance, build a house and write house next to it.
It is. I think it's great. There's a lot of talk. David Clark, our director of services, has given a comment on it, because he thinks it's going to change the way I think kids are learning. Because as I said earlier on in the interview, it's becoming less and less popular, but it's still, you know, an important way for visually impaired people to read. You know, obviously there's audio and all these different types of things, but Braille, I think it's dying out a little bit at the minute. And for a company of Lego size to get involved, I think it's going to make a big difference in the future to visually impaired people. So when is it looking to launch? You've said you've gone through a couple of test phases at the minute. What's the plan now over the next couple of years?
Right. Well, we are pending, you know, the test results from the second round of prototype testing. We've then tested 8 markets in total by then. The complexity is that each Braille language is different, so each set will be different. But also the local teaching material and the curriculum will be different. So there are many aspects to this. But it's therefore key and essential for us to find the right partners in every given market that we choose to go into, because they have to guarantee that the toolkit and the concept is delivered in the right way to the children, so they truly experience learning through play. And again, we haven't actually touched upon the subject of how it will be distributed, but it will be through select partners and their distribution channels. So for instance, through QTVIs in the UK and to select schools. So that's the basic idea. We have to ensure that the toolkit reaches the right recipient.
And can you just a little bit more information on this, like you said, the learning packs and the toolkits? What's going to be involved in that? What will these particular and specified schools be receiving?
Okay, well, this is what we're actually still developing. So the toolkit is one part of it, and the pedagogical concept is the other aspect, which is still in development. So we're actually working with partners in the UK to help develop this.
And I've read, I believe somewhere, 2020 is a date you are aiming for. So within the next year, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. So there's still a lot of unknowns, but we are, you know, hopeful that we you know, will reach the right setup. I mean, just the response we've received from announcing Lego Braille bricks has just been huge. So it way surpassed our expectations. So we're going to have to approach, you know, one market at a time and do a rollout plan accordingly. But, you know, hopefully in time we can reach as many blind and visually impaired children as possible.
Just something that's really important to me is that, you know, when you are visually impaired or blind, or you are losing your vision very slowly, like I'm doing, I just experienced a couple of years ago that, you know, in line with losing the vision, I also sort of lost my confidence. And I thought that I couldn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. And I thought that I was dependent on my vision to do great things in this world. And I went through a sort of a process to turn that around, and that's also what I talk about. But I just think that the Braille bricks just open doors for children, and I would really love to get out there. So for me, it's to empower children to go and seek their dreams, and that's just something that is so close to my heart these days, and the reason why I you know, joined the project, but also the reason why I try to encourage people to, you know, see their dream, go for it, and believe that they can achieve it. And I think that it's so important that children learn Braille, because you know, the things you get from reading a book yourself, you know, reading it in your mind, and when I say read it, of course you read with your hands, but you experience it yourself, and you create the sounds and the vision in your mind,
the world you can fall into.
Exactly. I just think that's really important, but the whole, you know, I can do it, I believe I can do that, and I think that's a great opportunity for children to learn this now in a playful way, which Dean also mentioned. So I was just jumping in my seat when I saw it for the first time, because I really, really think it's a powerful tool.
This is why it's been so important to have Morten on this project, because he gives just the whole, he gives the personal touch, you can feel it. Him, and I just, like he says, he gets goosebumps, so do I when he starts talking about his passion and his vision and his, you know, he's just so intent on achieving, you know, what he sets his mind to. And it's the same we want to these blind and visually impaired children, that they shouldn't stop because they can't fulfill their dreams. They should, you know, try at any cost.
I think, as you've said, it's been received so well, just shows how excited people are to get their hands on these Braille bricks. Well, Stina Storm and Morten Bunder from the LEGO Foundation and LEGO Group's advertising agency, thank you very much for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.